From Studio SWA, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. Now, today we're talking about the newest, most exciting news that's come along to Southwest Airlines in quite some time. I'm, of course, referring to the return of this podcast, Red Belly Radio. I had to take a little break from it for a while, but now it's back. Now, in addition to the Red Belly Radio, Southwest Airlines just took delivery of our very first 737-800. And with only a few exceptions early on, Southwest Airlines has only ever flown the 737. We still fly a few 737-500s, mostly -700s, but we're now going to start flying the -800 Model 2. This is actually big news for us, and to quote Gary Kelly, this is a game changer. With me is one of the directors in flight operations, Captain Tim Leonard. You are a captain, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Captain Tim Leonard, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Well, thank you.
Now, you know, Southwest was the launch customer for the -300, the -500, and the -700. Why didn't we jump on the 800 when it was launched?
Well, that's a great question.
Or why are we flying it now is the better reason, I question.
So the 737-800 is Boeing's most popular version of the 737. And frankly, it's because of the increased seating capacity. It allows the airlines to carry more people, which is what we're all about, moving people safely from
sure.
A to B. And obviously, from the airline's perspective, we want to try and carry as many people as we possibly can. So the additional seats, this aircraft compared to the current fleet of 737s has 175 seats, so we can carry quite a few more folks.
So it's the same fuselage size, only longer. It's the same wings?
Same wings.
Same wing?
Yep.
Same engine?
A little bit bigger engine. Basically the same size. You really wouldn't see it.
You wouldn't notice the difference.
But the ability for it to produce the power is greater.
And in the flight deck, same equipment?
Same exact equipment in the flight deck. From the pilot's perspective, there is virtually no major differences. There's four what we call minor differences on the airplane that are quite benign, and all our pods can fly any of our airplanes. That's really the beauty of Southwest Airlines.
Well, that's one of the questions I had. Just because you can fly a 737-700, are you immediately approved to fly the 800, or is there additional training?
There was additional training, although it was minimal for this aircraft because the differences are so minor that the FAA is comfortable with minimal training, and we've had great success with it.
Well, at some point, are we going to be getting a new flight simulator that simulates the 800?
As a matter of fact, our brand new 737-800 simulator showed up on Friday.
Wow.
Last week, and it's being installed as we speak, planning to go into operation, I believe, July 15th.
So as a pilot, when you're flying this thing, I guess it's a little bit different once you're taxiing on the ground, but so it's a little, I guess it could be heavier,
mm-hmm.
So you're, the distance to take, I don't know all the correct terminology, but the distance to take off, the distance to slow down might be a little bit longer, but still it all fits within our operations.
Absolutely. It's obviously heavier because it's longer, with the same wing we talked about, and carry the additional people, so more bags, so it's heavier. So your performance calculation is a little bit different. It still will operate in all our airports quite well, as well as open up new opportunities. Like Gary Kelly said, it is a game changer. We now have a very nice platform to fly long-haul flights to various places throughout the
United
States.
So it will fly further?
It'll fly about the same range as the 700.
Well, now how are we going to be using it? Well, not necessarily longer haul.
So the plan is, right now, we have three of them out in the field. There are more coming.
I said there was one. We actually have three now.
There are three now. There's 33 aircraft coming this year, so you're going to see more and more of them as the year goes on. It's going to accelerate with several coming next year as well. So we have two different versions of this aircraft, and what I mean by version is the way they're configured to operate as far as what market mm-hmm. we're going to operate them in. 28 of the 33 this year are going to be configured in what we call an ETOPS configuration. What that means is FAA approval for extended operations, or the ability to fly at least over 60 minutes away from an approved landing strip, or in other words, out over the water. So this will open up new markets for Southwest if Southwest chooses to do that business that we couldn't have done before.
So it doesn't necessarily, for all you people out there getting excited about Hawaii, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to Hawaii right away, but it could also mean we're flying directly from, say, Houston to Miami by going over the Gulf.
That's correct.
The shorter distance to save fuel.
Yep.
And also, I guess it could be used in airports that are like congested, that we can't get any more landing slots or we can't get any more in that time of the day.
Absolutely.
We could use them there.
Absolutely. Airports that are historically very busy. Some on the East Coast, for example, are, like you said, airports that have slots where you need to get as many people out, in and out of there as possible because you only have so many opportunities to do that. They're very good for that.
Let's see.
Now, one of the biggest mm-hmm. things about the 800, I think, that from the customer's point of view, they're really going to like is the new Boeing Sky Interior.
I had that down on the list here to ask you about. Check.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful new interior that I think they're really going to like. The employees love it. The bins are much bigger. They're shaped a little bit differently. They actually kind of almost round down, and it gives the cabin a lot more overhead space. That combined with the new Evolve interior have really spiced up the inside cabin experience for our customer that I think they're really going to enjoy.
Yeah, I've photographed this thing from the outside. I even went to Florida to catch its first landing. I went to the unveiling, but I've yet to be inside the thing. I really want to see the inside of it.
It's quite nice. It also has LED lighting and the ability to change the lighting based on the time of day. For example, you can have a nice bright experience when people are boarding. But then as you're flying into the evening and people want to take a nap, you can dim the lights in a way that's different than what they're currently used to. Right now on most of the planes, you turn on their lights to dim or bright. And it's like...
It's on or off.
Yeah. And it's shocking. So if you're asleep, picture yourself...
I've been shocked once or twice.
So picture yourself asleep and boom, the lights come on. So these lights have the ability with a timer to almost like wake you up.
It's smarter.
Exactly.
It's a smarter lighting
system.
Light. Now, the very first one had a decal on it, the Warrior One decal.
So
if you see that flying around the system, that's the very first one we got.
And that's actually been painted on the airplane now.
Now, Tim, is the plan to replace all of our existing aircraft with Dash 800s? Or are we going to have both in the fleet at some point?
Well, that's a great question.
I mean, it would take a long time,
It would take a long time, and I think that's really the answer, is that with a fleet our size, you know, we have 700 aircraft counting the aircraft on the AirTran side and the Southwest side. And so
wow.
replacing that many aircraft, it just takes time. And so to say we'll all have just one type of 737.
It could be decades.
It could be decades. Yeah. And in reality, you'll always be rolling from one to the next.
Now, another thing on board you did mention, there's an additional lav.
There is an additional lav as well as a great big galley in the back. So now there are three lavatories on board. There's one in the front and there's two in the back. And there's a great big galley in the back as well as the addition of what we call half carts, or carts like people are used to maybe seeing on some of our competitors' airlines, where the flight attendants serve their service with the assisting of a cart. These carts are smaller. They're about half the size of what people are used to seeing. And it fits really well into our model. Provides the flight attendants the ability to not have to run back and forth because of the additional 19 feet.
That adds up.
Aircraft. It does add up, and it's a lot of extra duty. The other addition, of course, is a fourth flight attendant. So we also had to add a fourth flight attendant because of the additional seating on board.
In fact, that was one of the obstacles we had to overcome. None of our systems had the ability to pay a fourth flight attendant.
That's right. It's not just that. It's the ability to...
And schedule and everything
schedule,
else.
Right.
Everything that goes with it. Well, speaking of the flight attendants, they're going to be pushing this cart down the way. Is that going to be an 800 exclusive, or will that be adopted to the 700?
That's an 800 exclusive, yeah, because you need a place to store them, and the galley in the aircraft is big enough to be able to support that, where it's not in the classic fleet or in the 700.
Well, you may not know this, but does this affect provisioning? Or they provision it differently?
Absolutely. It takes a little bit longer. There's more stuff to put on there. So when you're on one of these aircraft, you get an opportunity to kind of wander back to the back, maybe en route, and take a look. You'll see it's quite a bit bigger than what they're used to seeing. So everything takes a little bit longer.
Now, of course, Southwest is known for some of our specialty aircraft. I can't wait to see what somebody comes up with for an 800 when they've got another 19 feet to work with.
I know. That's a great question. I don't know what it's going to be.
I don't know anything. Don't ask me. Somebody told me that the Boeing has – I don't know how one goes about determining this, but this fuselage length is ideal for this wing length, that it's the ideal setup.
Hmm. Well, I think it goes back to Boeing's philosophy that this is their most popular model.
Yeah, that could be because the cool kids are using it, though.
There you go. It could be. It all goes back to the engineering drawing board, and so you need one of those smart guys to come in. They could probably draw you a diagram on why that is.
Yeah, it's like when they say how much an airplane weighs. Like, how do you know that? Is there a scale of some sort? I have no idea. I rely on folks like at Boeing to hire people with, more training in math than I.
Absolutely.
Well, gosh, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Have you had the chance to fly one yet?
We did fly it. I have flown it a few times. It's a great platform to fly from. It's a pilot's airplane. And what I mean by that is it's solid. It performs very well. At lighter weights, it's very sporty because of additional thrust, which is fun. Obviously, when you're full, it's not quite as sporty, but it's a great, great airplane. The beauty of it is just the consistency with the rest of the fleet. It feels exactly like any of our airplanes.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest here today. And I'd like to let everybody listening know that Red Belly Radio will now be a monthly podcast. Not really dated, but just coming out whenever some big news comes up. I'd like to thank any longtime listeners who commented about the lack of podcasts lately. But that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2012. The captain, that'd be Captain Tim today, has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.